It's that time of year when students head back to school. I'm Stephen Cummins, Interim General Manager of North State Public Radio. And Chico State and Butte College will welcome to their respective campuses thousands of students new and returning in this coming week. But today we welcome into NSPR's Studio C, Butte College President, Dr. Samia Yacoub, and California State University Chico President, Dr. Gail Hutchinson. Thank you both for taking a break from your busy schedules to sit with us to discuss higher education. But first, it's a heavy time of year and heavy with anticipation. And I want to ask you both what you're most excited about for this coming academic year. President Yacoub?
Thank you, Stephen, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, especially to be here with Gail, because we don't see enough of each other.
No, I agree.
So one thing I'm excited about is our 50th birthday. Butte College started in 1968 as a small little college in Durham, and we've grown, and we're really proud. We have a proud history, promising future, and we're having our birthday party this year, and particularly on September 16th, we invite the whole community out to come and celebrate with us.
Oh, fantastic. And so what are you excited about for the beginning of Chico State
years? Oh, my God. I love this time of year. First of all, I'm excited about students' return. We have over 17,000 students joining us this year, and also the return of faculty, who many of whom have been working all summer. But just that buzz on campus with everybody returning and being excited about the fall semester and the academic year.
I agree. It's my favorite time of year,
too. It's my favorite time of year.
It's exciting. Yeah. All these new students will be arriving. But with the beginning of the year, the chancellor of the California State University System announced just last week that beginning in 2018, remedial or leveling courses will no longer be required of incoming students who are maybe not math or reading-writing proficient. So both institutions have ambitious goals to increase completion rates. How do you help students succeed, especially those who may not be as college ready as others?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll just start with saying that we've been really working diligently as a campus since 2009 on the graduation initiative, trying to help our students with greater completion. So with regard to developmental education, I'm really proud of Chico State because we've reduced our need for developmental education from 50% to 34%. With the developmental education and the removal, or EO 1110, which says we don't have a need for remedial, I think what our focus has been all along with Butte College and also with all the community colleges and all the K-12 is really on college preparation, is really getting prepared to attend college. So I think we're seeing greater efforts. I know Samia and I and Kelly Staley and Butte County Office of Ed and others in the North State have been talking about Promise Program, but Samia and I and Kelly have been specifically talking about that with regard to looking at Chico Unified, Butte College, and Chico State. I don't know if you want to elaborate on Promise Program.
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. I'm going to back up a little bit and talk just about our K-20 collaboration in general, in that one of the things we are really looking at doing is increasing that college-going culture and putting it forward as an idea that we want every local kid to be going to college, whether it's Butte College, Chico State, but we want them to go to college as a way to prepare them, but then also to prepare for a educated future workforce. And anyway, so the Promise Program is a piece of that. And what we're doing is we want to take away the barriers for our students, whether they're structural barriers or financial barriers. And the Promise Program, a piece of that is to provide every local child with a free year of education at a community college, at Butte College in particular. So the Butte College Promise is what we're looking at. And so this would be a fundraising effort that we are launching this fall to build an endowment so that we could provide tuition and fees free for local students. And the idea is that by removing that barrier, children, because many of our children, most of the people who come to Butte College are coming from families, 70% of them are coming from families that did not go to college. They're first in their families, first-generation students. Many of them don't see themselves as college-going necessarily when they're young. We want to turn that around and have them see themselves as college-going And so the Promise Program is a way to get to that, to make it so that that is no longer a barrier for them.
Right. And I just want to say that I applaud that effort, and I know that we're going to continue with our K-20 collaborations with all school districts, both in our service region and other places in the state, to really help remove those barriers, those structural barriers, financial barriers for our students. And then back to your question about remedial and the chancellor's removal of remedial and the testing, that really is important. And I know that there's misperception out there to say that we're not going to be helping our students, but that's not true. Again, Chico State has done very well over the last 10 years of really reducing the need for developmental education. But the CSU and Chico State especially, and I know you are as well, Samia, are really committed to meeting our students where they are. And as we think about that, we need to bring our students in, think about what we're providing them in terms of general education, and especially with math and English, find ways for them to complete their math and English requirements in the first year of attending our university, at least for first-time freshmen, but making sure that that happens in ways that they have support. So as we see our elimination of remedial and maybe even testing, I think what you will see is faculty working very hard at inclusive pedagogy, very hard at providing support like supplemental instruction, studio courses, innovative pedagogy, advising, tutoring, all of this to really help students in wherever they are for math and English to earn that college credit, but also to pass those courses and pass them well. That really helps with their retention, certainly serves to progress them toward degree, and definitely embraces their student success.
And this is part of a larger four-year completion goal.
Yes, it is.
You want students to get out in 4 years and not spend that first semester or two semesters taking remedial courses that don't count towards that degree.
That's right. That's correct.
And so, I mean, so part of this is affordability, and it's clear that it's expensive to go to college. Over the last 30 years, the cost of college has outpaced the cost of living and median household income in the United States. So how is cost a barrier to your students, and how do your institutions address that?
I know as we look at underrepresented student populations and even low-income student populations, part of that is helping them understand what is available for them. Because California State University system, and actually all of the K-20 opportunities that are in the state of California, there are financial barriers, but at the same time, there are all kinds of strategies to help these students. And I'm going to say that many of our students, a good over 40%, are Pell eligible. We have students who are eligible for Cal Grant, and there are other scholarships and opportunities out there to make higher education affordable. And so part of the challenge is to help students realize that. So as our students are getting college ready, college prepared, as we change the culture in K-12 to really help students realize that they can go to college, and as we create support structures, so too do we educate not only the student, but their families on what opportunities for financial aid or grants are out there for them, so they can be assured that it's not a financial problem if they come to college.
And so Butte College has the Promise Program, but then there are also grants available for and scholarship and such.
Yes, and we're fundraising for the Promise Program. It's not in place yet. It's a goal of ours. But yes, the way that we would structure it is it would be a last dollar promise. So we expect students to apply first for what used to be called the BOG fee waiver. Now it's called the California Promise. And this is for low-income students. It provides a relief from fees for students to go to, and tuition to go to college. And that's for California community colleges. And then we also have Pell grants. The level of Pell awards going to California community colleges is much lower than the CSU. So our students are not eligible for as much Pell money as university students. But we would require them to first get the California Promise grant, then get the Pell grant if they're eligible, and then it would be a last dollar where we would provide the Butte Promise so that their education would be taken care of. What we're hoping with this Promise Program was if we fundraise to a certain level, if we raise $2.7 million, then we can provide free tuition and fees for local students for 1 year, which is fantastic. If we're able to raise $10 million, we can provide free tuition and fees and books. And for our students, the cost of books exceeds the cost of tuition and fees frequently. So that is the biggest barrier for our students. Many times when we, because we provide a lot of support for our students, and when students drop out or don't show up, they sign up for orientation, but they don't show up for registration, or they register, but they don't show up the first day of class, or they don't show up for a portion of one of those, we'll call them and find out what happened. The main reasons why students end up not coming to us are financial or family. Those are the two main barriers for them. So if we can take away one of those, you know, the family, you can do what you can, but sometimes things happen in people's families. But
that's true.
if we can take away that one barrier of the finance piece, then that many more people are going to be coming to school. But we see it as a last dollar. So we would take advantage of these other financial opportunities that are out there for our students.
And to sort of put that in context, two semesters at Butte's about $1,300 tuition and fees?
Yeah, ours is a little bit higher than that, but that's the average. Ours is tends to be a little bit higher than that, but more or less.
And around $7,300 for Chico State, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the country right now, there's a movement. There's four states who've already done it. Free community college, Rhode Island, New York,
Oregon,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Tennessee.
Tennessee
was the first.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
California used to be a
free.
Leader.
Mm-hmm.
We were a progressive leader in education in this state, and community college and CSUs were funded and were free.
Wasn't that great?
Those are the good old days.
Those are the good old days.
What is the likelihood of a program like Promise becoming a state-funded program or an initiative to do the same thing at the CSUs, who are meeting some of the same needs and serving the same population?
Well, I mean, I think that there is certainly there's a impetus to do that. And what's interesting is the BOG fee waiver having its name changed to the California Promise grant is a way of the state signaling this is what we're already providing, I think. And it does provide a piece, but it doesn't provide the whole cost. And there actually was a very interesting study done last year that looked at low-income students and looked at the true cost of education, living, books, tuition, fees, once they had accessed money that was available to them as in terms of Pell and local opportunities for them. And what was revealed in that study is that there were 9 regions. Out of that, 6 of the regions, the community college had a greater out-of-pocket expense than going to a CSU or a UC because there was less funding available to them. So it actually, and we know that community colleges are the entree for most people of color and for most low-income students in terms of an entree into higher education. And yet we don't serve them well because their out-of-pocket expenses tend to be very, very high. So this is something that I think really needs to be addressed at a state level.
And I agree with that. And I also know that as we're working together, really working on transfer rates and really helping our students maybe earn their associate's degree and make their way to a 4-year institution or transfer and make sure that those credits that they're taking at community college transfer into the main university. You know, we've improved so much, but that too is a barrier, especially as we're looking at low income and certainly underrepresented populations who really get their start with community college. Mm-hmm. It is imperative that we continue that good work in ways that help more of those students transfer and be successful at a 4-year institution.
Yeah. And we just got our more recent numbers, and we're up. So our transfer numbers to CSU and UC are up 24% in the last 4 years.
That's fantastic.
I know. And 80% of them are coming to Chico State.
Woo!
That's fantastic. I know.
For people on radio, that there were two high fives there across the table.
We get excited about that.
We do. And then our AS degrees also up 21%.
So great. Good job.
We're doing great there.
Yeah, I have a high school freshman, and I'm thinking about college myself. And when you start to look at the just sheer price of it, when you think that Stanford is $70,000 and UC Davis, a public institution down the street from us, is $34,000 for a year, and then you start to get into the low 20s. And the
super lows,
yeah. 8,000 or so at a community college, you start to see the ability, the access that is there for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just
and at the same time, I know that CSU Chico State, we made it into Money Magazine and Forbes for best value for the dollar. So when you compare us to other institutions across the country and you look at the California State University system-wide, we're still great value for the dollar. And Chico State, just like our sister campuses, Chico State is high-quality education. I put our academic programs, our faculty acumen, and knowledge expertise up against any other perceived prestigious university, and I know we'll come out on top.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
Another high five. There you go. So both of your institutions are on the verge or are already Hispanic-serving institutions. And so that was you just mentioned that population that you serve. How does becoming a Hispanic or Latino-serving institution inform or impact your institution?
Well, we haven't officially...
You're 2% away.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think we're at around 25%, but the data that you use for federal government reporting is behind. So
okay.
Yeah. So why don't you take this one? Because you guys are.
We are. We are an HSI and proud of it. And I believe our Latina population is just over 30% at this point. It's fabulous. I think it really speaks to the changing demographic that we see in California. I also am excited because as we look at historically underrepresented population or student who comes to university, it really is wonderful that we have that HSI designation. It means that we have a growing diversity among our student population, which is fantastic. The other thing is that it really helps us connect to other HSIs in the country and really helps us become eligible for opportunities for federal grant, not only as an HSI, but to serve all kind of underrepresented groups at the university. So we have a STEM grant that we received as an HSI STEM, and that's doing very well in terms of helping students come in and really prepare for STEM fields. I'm very proud of that.
I was going to ask you also about the fact that money doesn't grow on trees, and you both manage very large institutions, and people don't like being taxed. However, last fall, the good people of Butte County voted decisively, like 66%, to approve a $190 million education bond for Butte College.
Yes.
How's that going?
Well, we are so appreciative of our local voters, Butte and Glenn County, for having that trust in us and showing their support for the work we do. And so, yes, we've passed Measure J, and we are moving full steam ahead. We've issued Series A we've got five series of bonds that we're issuing. We've issued the first Series A, $42 million. And most of that is going to a new welding facility, advanced manufacturing welding facility out on the main campus. Construction is going to begin in January, and we hope to have it open in January 2019.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, where it'll give us an opportunity to double our welding program, which is a fantastic nationally renowned program, and to start some advanced manufacturing in that same location. So we're really excited about that. We also will put in an auto diesel program at our Skyway Center. That's part of Series A as well. Construction is going to begin this December, and it's a smaller project, so we should be complete by May 2018. And moving forward on that. And then also in Series A, we've got an athletics field house and press box that we are going to completely remodel. And the construction will also begin actually December 2018, and it'll be ready August 2019. So that's Series A. We've got five series. Series B and C is mostly dedicated towards a science building. It's going to be a brand new science building. It's going to cost around $73 million. That's why we need to put two series together to pay for that. But that's going to be phenomenal because it's been a real bottleneck for our students is getting enough of their science classes, and especially for our nursing and other allied health program students, and then those students that are transferring into STEM fields. This is going to really allow us to offer a lot more sections and address that bottleneck sufficiently. So we're really excited about that. And then what's going to come up after that is we'll do a remodel of a couple of our older buildings so that we can house our Veterans Resource Center and some of our student services. And then we will be remodeling our math building to make it a more efficient and better use of space and expand our mathematics program, which is another bottleneck. So, and then we're going to be doing some infrastructure throughout. We need new gas lines, new sewer lines, new servers. So IT and physical plant infrastructure will be part of that as well. So it's going to be a long time. We're going to be working on this for at least a decade and even longer than that. But we're really, really excited, and it's going to be great. The campus already is beautiful, but it's going to be even more beautiful, and it's going to be able to better serve our local communities. Oh, and then we're also doing a law enforcement center in there, too. And that's going to be in Series D and E. Yeah, so new shooting range for our Law Academy students.
That's a lot on your plate.
Yes, it is. And so it means a kind of a torn up campus for quite a while. So we're letting everybody know that this is a good thing.
It's a fantastic thing.
Yeah, yes. It's exciting.
So Chico State can't actually put out a tax referendum bond. So how are you're addressing, you're transforming tomorrow in other ways?
We have a science building coming as well.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're in the middle of planning for a new science, and we have we're working with the architects right now. We're not ready to reveal what we think it will look like, but if all goes well, and we still have to get permissions with the chancellor's office, but if all stays on track and we get those permissions, we hope to break ground in summer of 2018. And that would be fantastic.
Yes.
As you know, we just opened the Performing Arts Building, which is a spectacular building that kind of really creates a nice accent right up to the corner of town, finishing that entryway by the Rotary and Laxon Auditorium. Mm-hmm. After the Science Building, I am in the process right now of finding a way to renew our physical master plan. Mm-hmm. So we actually have put a bid out, and we hope to secure architects, architectural firms this semester who will lead us through a physical master planning process with our campus. And I know we're not building buildings at the moment, but we have a lot going on this semester because this is our beginning of our reaccreditation process. So we are looking to complete our institutional study relatively soon, our self-study, and then we'll have the accrediting body with us. We hope to complete that process by 2019. But as we're doing that, it's the perfect platform for looking at a physical master plan moving into the future and university strategic plan. Mm-hmm. Often people prepare university strategic plan and physical master plan separately. I'm looking to have those built concurrently so one may inform the other, and I can't think of a better way to begin that than with a WASC accreditation.
And you
so
all just completed your WASC accreditation.
Yes, we did. Phew, we are reaffirmed and happy about it.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I know. I feel your pain.
Thank you.
But it's a good process. It's a good process. It's painful, but good.
You know, and it is a good process. Yeah. And I think the way accreditation is set up today, it really allows campus to come together in many ways to really reflect upon their performance, mm-hmm. What's important to them, how well they're doing in ways that I don't think we really have had that opportunity. So mm-hmm. I like the fact that it's much more constructive feedback. It's mm-hmm. much more demonstration of the institution as a learning organization. Mm-hmm. So it really is a prime opportunity for us. And actually, as arduous as it is, the faculty, staff, and our executive leadership helping to lead the charge are doing a superior job, and I have no doubt that we'll pass. So
that's fantastic.
I think it's clear that managing a large institution is challenging, and that you both love very much what you do. I'm thinking about in the coming week with thousands of students walking onto your campus, what advice you have for Chico State and Butte College students as they start this new academic year?
I suggest that students, when they get to campus, especially if they're new and they've never been here before, is to really get involved as quickly as possible. And I know that's really hard because sometimes it's scary to reach out and meet people. But I would suggest that go to class, number one. If you're not getting into your class, certainly seek out an advisor or faculty. Everyone on campus, and I'm sure that's true with you too, Sammy, everyone on campus is there to help you. So ask. No question is too crazy. We're there to help. And then in addition to that is really find a way to get involved, whether you're volunteering on a service project with downtown or in the community, or whether you're going into rec sport or athletics or trying out for theater or musical. No matter what it is, find a way to get involved. That will allow you to meet people, but also allow you to really get a sense of the campus culture almost immediately.
Mm-hmm. That's such great advice, and I think that will work. That works for community college students, for Butte College students as well. We have Ask Me booths out there on campus for mm-hmm. the first week, and people are carrying their Ask Me or wearing their Ask Me buttons, and it's because everybody just wants to help students, and it's a critical time. Some other advice I would give in addition to that is don't feel like you're alone. A lot of times, especially students, if they're first-time students, they feel that what they're experiencing is unique. If they're feeling challenged or if they're unsure of themselves, don't feel that you're alone. You're not alone. You look to your right, you look to your left, the students next to you are probably feeling the same way. Mm-hmm. So don't give up. Don't feel discouraged. You'll find out that other students are experiencing just that same kind of those butterflies in their stomach and not sure you're in the right place. Everybody's going through that, and you're all going through that together. And that you just push yourself, stretch yourself, and that's how you grow. And before you know it, you'll be an old pro at this.
That's right. I agree with that. Yeah. And, you know, there's one other area that I think is important for those who are just coming to campus, and that is at Chico State, we have a Wildcat food pantry. So there are a lot of students who really may not have enough opportunity for finding food or buying food or might even have some housing concerns and issues. And we have opportunity with the Wildcat food pantry to really get involved and connected so that we can make sure that you have enough food and even maybe help with getting sustained housing. And so students need to understand that if they're feeling, you know, like they're challenged or they're feeling alone, is to really reach out, whether a person has an Ask Me button or not. Find somebody at the university, and I guarantee that person will be able to help you or lead you to someone who can.
Yeah, it's a great advice. We have a food pantry as well, so our students at both institutions are well covered.
That's right.
Community colleges offer a cafeteria style of course offerings. How do you guide your students on that pathway?
Well, counseling for an incoming student tends to be somewhat general because, first of all, we've got our ratio of counselors to students is out of whack. So we have a single counselor that needs to serve thousands of students. So they receive counseling when they first enter into the college, and it tends to be more general because of the nature of how that works at that point. And then they do need to declare what they want to study, but they can sign up for anything they want. And so often what happens is students they're working two jobs, they look at the schedule, and they say, well, I really want to go into accounting, but I'm looking at when those classes are available, and they don't match my work schedule, so I'll sign up for maybe a geography class, and I'll sign up for a walking class, and I'll sign up for an English class. And so those classes may or may not actually help them get that accounting degree. And so with and if you were to look at our website, it's not clear. So you were talking about those academic roadmaps. We need to be developing that. And some of our programs have them, but we need to develop them more of them, and they need to be accessible to students online so that a student can see exactly what they would need to get that accounting degree, and they would know what they should take their first semester, what they should take their second semester, their third and their fourth, and then we'd have a better chance of them getting through.
And so that is the guided pathway?
That is the guided pathway, yeah.
You made a very important point that I think it's worth acknowledging here, and that is, you know, many of our students are working two jobs, or they're working and have family responsibility, or have family responsibility or some other responsibility that limits their ability to come to campus. So making sure that we're providing degree programs that might be offered in different platforms, whether it's an online platform for those who are at more of a distance, or a hybrid platform, a little bit of this and that online or face-to-face. Mm-hmm. But also really coming to understand when students need or desire to take classes.
Exactly.
So really looking at a traditional academic schedule that might be between the hours of, let's say, 9 and 3 on certain days of the week, and saying, is that serving our students best? Or do we need to rethink these schedules and develop a more flexible format? So for students who are working or have other responsibilities, they have an opportunity to join us for classes and make progress to a degree because they can get the classes they need.
Right. And that's exactly the work that we're doing right now. We have a new vice president of instruction, and she's doing tremendous work and looking at our schedule and looking at, and she's got a 1-3-5 year plan for our schedule. And it's exactly to be looking at what do students need, when do they need it, what are some alternative delivery methods, and how can we put those in place so that we have a schedule that is actually meeting students so that they can get through and we can continue to improve our completions.
And I would say that both of us, and so community colleges and the CSU system, Chico State, Butte College, and our sister campuses, are all looking at delivery platforms as well as looking at ways to improve the way we teach so that students learn better.
Yeah. That's a good segue to something I want to talk a little
bit
about.
Okay, let's go there.
and that is about teaching and learning and about our faculty. And I know that this is true at Chico State as well. But our faculty, we've got amazing faculty. And our faculty care so deeply about our students. And they care about their practice and care about what's going on in their classrooms. And something that I'm really proud about is how our faculty are focusing on diversity and equity issues and doing a lot of great work to try to reduce and eliminate achievement gaps among underrepresented students and different diverse students. We call them on the dashboard. We've done a lot of research and analysis determining which students are not succeeding at the rate that we want them to be succeeding at. And then we're focusing a lot of energy and attention on how to improve the experience of those students. And my thought is whatever we do to improve the experience of those students is going to improve the experience of any other student as well, because good pedagogy is good pedagogy. But we have some specific things some of our faculty are doing. They're doing a FAIR Classroom project, which I think is fantastic, where they're looking at the data within their own classrooms, their achievement gap data in their own classrooms, and looking at their own practice to say, how can I reduce this? It's so often that when underrepresented students don't do as well as other students, we look to reasons within the student for what the problem is. And so we have a movement on campus where we're looking at, well, what are we doing that are creating barriers for these students? And so some of the faculty are doing that in the classroom, which I'm really proud of.
As you should be. Yeah. And I would say that we have faculty doing the same on our campus at Chico State.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for quite a while, but I do agree that finding ways to really engage a student, assess student need, be able to tailor a pedagogy to meet that student need, to enhance learning, and certainly reduce that DWF rate is so important. So I'm really proud of our faculty, too.
Yeah.
And they're engaging in what we call inclusive pedagogy and also course redesign. So whether they're doing a self-examination of their DWF rates, how they might be able to reduce that, how students respond to different styles of teaching, different delivery platforms is so key. And then the system and our campuses, and I'm sure you have as well, our faculty are engaged as many as possible in what we consider high impact practices.
Yes.
And that is nothing more than inclusive pedagogy and addressing where the student is, exactly where they are. And that's working well to reduce achievement gaps. It really is. Mm-hmm. But it takes a conscious effort on the part of the faculty to do that. And it really requires being up on how our students are learning and understanding that how students learned perhaps 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 2 years ago may be slightly different, and that all the students who come with us, we in addition to having a cohort, we also have students with learning disabilities or students with other challenges. So it's very important in an inclusive pedagogy mm-hmm. environment that a faculty member really understands how they can take that course delivery and tailor it to a student so everyone has that opportunity for success.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a high five.
A high five for sure.
So that leads us to a question from a listener. Suzanne asks, what strategies and services are in place to assist students with physical and learning disabilities? Dr. Hutchinson?
You know, at Chico State, we have Disability Support Services, affectionately referred to as DSS. It aligns with the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 and also aligns with the American Disability Act of 1990. I think it's a great question. So first and foremost, when you're looking at a university, we're a university of all students. So we really welcome all students to campus. And for those students who have learning disabilities, physical disabilities, other challenges in their lives, we're here to assist. So when you go on our webpage, you'll see that we offer a whole host of things. So let's say that you have a certified impairment of some sort, you would actually work with a professional in DSS, and that person would really help you determine whether you needed someone to help you with a visual aid, someone who maybe can be on hand in a laboratory to assist, someone perhaps needs, a student needs extra time in taking an exam. They might help set that up with a faculty member. If you're physically impaired, finding a way to make sure that someone picks you up and drives you to your class so you have access. You might need assistive technologies of some sort that may help you with online learning, but also with the books that you have. So you name it, we work incredibly hard to make sure that we can accommodate your need, whatever it is. So my encouragement to all students out there, especially students who have some sort of challenge or impairment, is to seek us out. Oftentimes, students don't take the first step to let us know that they have a challenge, and we want to be helpful. So I encourage those students at Chico State to go to the Disability Support Services webpage and see how they can contact us so we can be helpful to them.
And Butte College has similar services with our disabled students programs and services. And we had recently two little stories. One, a faculty member who was on sabbatical, and she, as her sabbatical project, created a whole set of universal design modules for faculty that they could make it easy for them to use universal design in their curriculum and in their class design. And then the second little story is this last year we installed adult changing tables on campus, and we hadn't had those before. And this was in the effort of faculty, of students and their caregivers lobbying, saying, do you realize how difficult it is to spend a full day on campus and then need to have a catheter changed or something changed and then have no place to go except for one of your regular bathrooms. Mm-hmm. And it was a new realization for us that this was something that we needed to do to provide for our students.
Added lactation.
Oh, yeah, we have lactation stations, yes.
Okay, have lactation stations, which I think is a long way.
Absolutely.
Gender-neutral bathrooms.
Yes, gender-neutral bathrooms, yeah. So, and I received this this email from a student who was, unbeknownst to me, waiting for one of these adult changing tables. And so when we finally got it on, and he sent me an email thanking the college for providing that. So it sort of created a personal story behind something that was needed, but I was seeing it not in such a personal way. So it was really nice. Yeah.
GE, I know you're passionate about general education.
Yes, I am.
Tell us why you're passionate about education, what you're passionate about.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about barriers for students making progress to degree. And I really think it comes back to what do students need and what's important for students to learn, and what is the institution doing to really promote that progress to degree, and what is the institution doing that actually creates a barrier that in most instances is unintentional, because our faculty, our staff, everyone on campus is committed to student success and passionate about student learning. So I just wanted to mention that our general education program, which actually is renowned nationally. We've been recognized for our outstanding work. We're going to be reviewing that program this year. And I think that speaks to what I had mentioned earlier in terms of our campus, our universities being learning organizations, that it is important to periodically reflect on what we've been doing, try to assess using good technique, good metrics, and really measure how well it's working for our students, remembering we're there for students. So we're going to be engaging in a review of our general education this year. And I have to say that what I'm most proud of with the general education program that we have is that it was an inclusive redesign years ago that resulted in a thematic approach where students can really select the pathways that they wish to take. And I think it's brilliant. And in addition to that, because of our commitment to civic engagement, we have the town hall and the Great Debate, which are two nationally known activity that really are known for bringing groups of students together with faculty and experts in the field to tackle real-life problems and work towards solutions. And that's gone over really well. So I know as we go through this general education evaluation and review, there are going to be elements like town hall and Great Debate and other elements as well, high impact practices that we'll keep. But at the same time, I'm confident that we will emerge in ways that reduce more barriers to our students making that progress to degree and completing.
Thank you both. And I hope the best for you, your students, your faculty and staff in this new academic year. We've been in the studio today with Dr. Samia Yacoub of Butte College and Dr. Gail Hutchinson of Chico State. Two presidents high-fiving their way through this interview.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Stephen, for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.